Welcome to the weekend and welcome to The Barbecue Show with Steve Ray. The Barbecue Show is brought to you by the Alistair's Barbecue Supply and Pro Shop in Ooltewah, by the historic Midnight Oil Service Station in Ooltewah, by Michelin Tires, because so much is riding on your time, and by all the great barbecue products and supplies at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply and Pro Shop. I know you've got questions, and we've got answers, so pick up the phone, 423-267-1023, and let's talk some barbecue.
That's right. Let's talk some barbecue. It is weekend eve here on Talk Radio 102.3. I'm Steve Ray. With me, Jeff Maxwell, and we are going to be talking barbecue for the next hour here on the Owl's Nest Barbecue Show live on Talk Radio. Our number is 423-267-1023. 267-1023. Anywhere in the world. 423-267-1023. If you're in your home, if you're in your car, if you are working in a kiosk at a gas station, you can call 423-267-1023 and join in the fun and frivolity right here on Talk Radio 102.3. You've got the questions, we've got the answers. Our broadcast partner, Backyard Smokers Barbecue on Facebook, and we're in touch, so you be in touch as well. Follow Owl's Nest Barbecue on Facebook. That's where we announce all the cool events that we do. Like up at Cambridge Square, we've got a big event that we'll be talking about, and we're going to try to put one together for October. So if you're interested in attending the events that we put on in the Ooltewah area, go to Facebook. You can also follow us on Instagram and YouTube. And, of course, all of the shows are uploaded to Anchor, the podcast people. 267-1023, that is our phone number. Get on the line. Let's get this guy in the radio room. Let's get him going. Let's make him work tonight, okay? Let's make him earn his money. Let's make him earn his $8 this hour, okay? Let's make him earn it.
He got a raise?
Yeah, he got a raise. He deserved one, too.
Well deserved.
That next raise, he's going to get a razor.
I can almost put 2 gallons of gas in my car now.
Well, good. That's good. Hey, what's new at the store, Steve? Brought to you by Grill Grates. The grates you put on top of your current grill grates. Grill grates get hotter. They stop flare-ups and give your already awesome steaks those famous flavor stripes. Get your grill grates at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply in Ooltewah. Number one, I want to thank everybody for coming by the store over the Memorial Day weekend. We had a fantastic weekend in sales. I appreciate everybody that's wanted to stop by and talk about the products that we have and the grills and the smokers. Everybody that bought grills and smokers, I appreciate you very much. And it was a great weekend at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply. Don't forget, we have Blues Hog Lump Briquette and Log Charcoal. For the best price around, Blues Hog Lump Charcoal, it trumps all the other lumps with flavor to spare. And we carry the complete line of Meat Church barbecue products. Don't worry about online ordering. Get yours tomorrow at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply. I went to sleep, Jeff, last night watching Matt Pittman's videos on YouTube, Meat Church. And I dreamt about Matt Pittman all night long. I'm not kidding. It was disgusting.
Those aren't pillows.
But isn't that funny how you go to sleep like that? And I kept dreaming about barbecue, and I dreamt that I was at a competition with Matt, and it was just weird. I probably need to quit talking about it.
I don't know that I've ever dreamt about something like that.
I know. I need help. Hey, tonight's guest is going to lead off a two-show series of things other than meat and proteins that can be cooked on the grill, like barbecue sides and barbecue desserts. She is live from Las Vegas. She's no showgirl. She's way better than that. She's a barbecue professional. She is the creator of Girls Can Grill. Ladies and gentlemen, here in Chattanooga, I give to you the one and only Christy Vanover from Las Vegas, Nevada. Hello, Christy. How you doing? Did we lose her?
She accidentally disconnected. She'll be right back on.
Are you kidding me? That was the greatest introduction in the face of
it. Serious as a heart attack.
What a balloon.
We'll be getting Christy back on. Aaron's going to grab her real quick. I don't know what happens. She's having internet problems. In Nevada, in Las Vegas, Nevada. Are you there, Christy? you missed the greatest. You missed the greatest introduction in the history of introductions. I was
bowing to you.
I know. Our producer here, Aaron, our producer, and back at the radio station, they're crying. They have tears in their eyes. It was so great.
All the effort put in, and you're not even there to witness it.
I watched live on Facebook. That was amazing.
and I think I know why the problem with the connection is. It is 109 degrees in Las Vegas, Nevada today, isn't it?
It's insane.
It's
almost too hot to grill.
Too hot to grill. And you know, it gets that hot. It gets too hot to grill. Do you have a fan? Do you have a fan you take outside when you grill?
I do, and I've got some cool misters that you sit on 5-gallon buckets, fill them with water. Mm-hmm. Those work really great.
They do. Christy Vanover from Las Vegas, Nevada. She is the creator and the purveyor of Girls Can Grill. You can buy her complete line of spices and from Spiceology. And she is a barbecue expert. She's a barbecue competitor. But Christy, let everybody know in Chattanooga what you do to collect a paycheck, because this is the coolest job of anybody we've ever had on radio.
You know, I recently switched jobs, but I will say that my job before was really cool. I was a park ranger for the National Park Service.
Mm-hmm.
And then in the last 6 months, I switched, and I actually work for the Air Force now. So it's still very cool.
So now what do you do for the Air Force?
Similar thing. So I do public relations for the Air Force. So I help manage the social media and website for the local base here.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's neat. In your adventures as a – now what national park did you work at in Las Vegas or in Nevada?
I worked at Lake Mead National Recreation Area. People may not have heard of that, but they've probably heard of Hoover Dam. So mm-hmm. It's basically all right there where Hoover Dam is.
Wow. So did you ever see a grizzly bear?
No, we don't have bears down here. Lots of desert tortoise, big horseshoe. You know, I haven't seen a rattlesnake in the park. I've seen a rattlesnake in the backyard, but a lot of desert wildlife.
So you never had to, like, ward off a grizzly bear like they show on television. The rangers come in.
No.
Well, that's a lousy.
I've seen them in Yosemite, but not in Vegas.
What, did you ever have to run off?
I have a lot of boaters.
Yeah, Lake Mead's more like a recreation type. Harrison Bay.
Did you ever have to run off a turtle? A wild turtle?
I had to pause in the street for a tarantula that was crossing the road once.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, I just thought it was the coolest job of anybody. Actually, I think working for the Air Force was probably a step up, wasn't it, Christy?
Pretty cool stuff.
Do you get to wear one of those, like an Air Force uniform?
Nope. I'm a civilian employee.
Oh, okay.
I wear regular clothes.
But they'd let you wear one probably if you wanted to, right?
Maybe, sure.
Hey, let's talk about Christy Vanover, my favorite Christy Vanover, the Christy Vanover, the barbecue girl. That's the one I want to talk about. How did you get into the barbecue world? Because you're not only in it, you are out in the Western Hemisphere of the United States, Christy Vanover is big-time barbecue out there. How did you get into it? Because you took the leap of faith and you jumped in with both feet.
I did, and I've been definitely living the ride ever since. I started grilling and learning more about grilling when I lived in Texas, when my husband was stationed at Fort Hood. That was about 2010 timeframe, so about 10, 11 years ago. Then we moved to Vegas, and I got connected with the Nevada Barbecue Association. They invited me to a meeting, went to a meeting, and they introduced me to competition barbecue. And I started my website prior to that, just sharing recipes of stuff to cook on the grill. But then once I joined the club and got into the competition circuit, I loved every minute of it. And just, like I said, just rode the ride since then, and it's grown into really fun, amazing things.
Now, you do several competitions a year, don't you?
Pre-COVID, yes.
Yeah, yeah.
Usually, I was trying to get around 10 or so, but I had big plans, and then COVID hit, which really put me on pause. And then this year, we just had our first comp last weekend, Memorial Day weekend, and it felt so, so good to be back.
And where was that comp at?
That was in Boulder City, Nevada. Unfortunately, I'm so excited to get back onto the circuit, but the West Coast, we just don't have very many. California had 2 or 3 slated for the summer, and they've been canceled still because of COVID. So my next one right now is in Utah, but it's not till August. So I might potentially travel, especially if I could fly somewhere and just cook on something. But, you know, there's a lot that you bring to a competition, and driving all the way to Kansas is quite several days from Vegas. So
I don't know.
Unfortunately, got to wait till 2022 for a big run. Maybe.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are. I'm going to show my geographic prowess. How far is Las Vegas from Dallas?
Oh, it's a good 2.5-day drive.
Oh, so it's a long way. It's a long way.
Oh, yeah.
Because I was thinking maybe you might be a World Food Championship competitor.
I've done that for several years. When it was in Vegas, I did it for 3 years.
Mm-hmm.
When they moved to Alabama, Florida, and Dallas, I haven't done it since then.
Okay.
But, I think I'd cook at the Royal before I would go to Dallas, though.
Yeah, well, who wouldn't? Who wouldn't?
Yeah. If I'm invited, no doubt I will be there. But yeah, I haven't done the Open yet, but that's on my bucket list.
Wouldn't that be cool to do it?
Yeah.
For the Royal, everybody.
I've judged it.
Oh, really? That's interesting.
I've judged the Royal and the Jack. So.
I guess after the Jack, the Royal is probably the most prestigious. Well, I don't know. Maybe it's the Jack. The Royal, Memphis and May, but they're two different things. What we do, the way we do it, us box competitors, I guess the Royal would be the biggest deal. And the Open, would be the biggest deal.
Sure, sure. And then now, KCBS is having its kind of national, so we'll see what that's like.
Did you get to compete in that last year?
No, I did not. When they did the one with Smithfield that was in New Orleans, I went. I was invited to just kind of go and oversee it all and share it on social media, but I wasn't judging or cooking. But it was amazing. One thing I liked about it, I don't know if they'll continue this model, but that Sterling Ball kind of threw out there is that everybody was provided a nice chest of the same type of meat. So it really made it an even playing field and brought out the best of the best. I really liked that because that's what happens on the circuit here is those of us who can afford it, whether we have sponsors or, other means, we buy the expensive brisket. And those who don't, unfortunately, maybe can't. And it's really challenging for them to compete equally especially on the brisket playing field if they're not able to come to the game with that level of quality meat. So I like it when the competition does provide that even playing field. I think that's cool.
I agree 100%. So you were in New Orleans for probably the biggest ever snafu in judging and announcing in the history of mankind, then, weren't you?
I was there, yes.
That's when they announced the winners, and they went, whoops, we've made a mistake, and they basically inverted the field. They announced the loser as the winner, and they announced the winner as the loser.
Oops. Everybody who was there, the teams who were there, the way they evened out the payouts to make up for the mistake.
It was
a very emotional time for all of the organizers and the teams. And at that point, we actually turned cameras off and worked through it as a barbecue family. And it was as tragic as it was and like the snafu of it all, it was actually really a beautiful scene to see the family of barbecue come together and say, hey, let's make this right.
Well, you know what?
And Smithfield, who was the sponsor, really took care of people.
You know what made it so, I don't know, like you say, it made it a non-story is they owned it so quick. They owned the mistake. They didn't make an excuse. They came out within hours, and they flat out said, we blew it. And, it was a Steve Harvey moment, and this is the way it is. And we're going to do this for the teams. And they announced the winners. And I thought that was really cool the way they did that.
Yep. It was, I did, like I said, I have a lot of respect for.
Absolutely.
It was hard on everybody, like especially the organizers, because I work with the reps from KCBS. I work with the others who were involved all the time. And it's not a mistake anybody wants to make, but it was an honest mistake. And like you said, they owned it and moved on and
took ownership. Yeah. In the end, the right person won and everybody placed, and that's what matters. And I don't think anybody had any ill feelings towards anyone, especially Smithfield is so good to the barbecue world. And I'm not talking just competition. They're good to the backyard people of making sure that when you go to that cold case, that there's Smithfield ribs and pork butts there. And that's what I like about them.
Sure, yep.
Hey, when we come back, we're going to start our dessert and side talk with Christy Vanover, the creator and purveyor of Girls Can Grill. She is with us on the Butcher Barbecue Hotline live from Las Vegas, Nevada. The Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply is the proud home of all the Butcher Barbecue products from two-time Barbecue World Champion David Bosca, who won that in Nevada, Las Vegas, the World Food Championships. His rubs, sauce, and grilling oils turn ordinary barbecue into extraordinary barbecue. Grilling addiction rub to the famous barbecue mud. Get your Butcher Barbecue products at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply in Ottawa. We'll be right back with Christy Vanover from Girls Can Grill on the other side of this break. 267-1023. Get on that phone and let's talk some barbecue. Oh, you did great, Christy. You did great. You sound good on this end. And so that was really good. I didn't know you were there in New Orleans.
I was, yeah. It was a good time. Yeah, I am so sorry for disconnecting. I unplugged my battery case to plug my headset in so I didn't have to hold my phone, and then all of a sudden it disconnected.
Well, that makes for fun listening. Now, remember... Remember, we still are live on Facebook, everyone. We appreciate everybody joining us. If you've got a question for Christy Vanover, enter it in that chat room. We'd love to hear from you. And she'll answer any of the questions. She is a barbecue pro, and she has her own line of rubs now. And she's a competitor. She's a backyard, just a tremendous creator of videos and how-to stuff, and she's just an all-around barbecue professional. The kind of person I long to be.
Oh, please. You're there. You are there.
No, we're not there. We're not
hi,
there.
Hi, Kent, and hi, Tom. I see you in the chat there. Happy yeah. Friday.
Did you see that, Daddy Dutch? The woman herself said hi to you, Christy Vanover. Daddy Dutch, you'll have to go and... Oh, he'll probably break into tears.
Oh, looks like he might be cooking the royal this year. That's fun.
No, I've got your video on the background, on the green screen, and I love that one scene where you try to give that barbecue hand cross look, and you just like right there you break into the smile. I love that part.
I'm not that tough.
I know. Why does everybody want to say give us your tough barbecue look? If I'm cooking, I'm smiling. I can't. I'm never tough.
Right. I know. Same here. I'm in my happy place.
Yeah. Exactly. Exactly. I think it got up to 78 degrees here today. So.
Oh my gosh, I'm jealous.
I did sweat pulling out the grills out of the showroom today. So.
I just sweat walking in my car.
God, 109 degrees. Ugh.
Yeah, I'm fat. I just sweat sitting on the back porch.
Well, I had no idea that you had changed jobs. I thought you were going to be with the Park Service forever. I thought once those people got to work there, they just stayed there forever.
You know, it was a lot of work. I was on call 24/7. It's one of the busiest parks in the country, so just a lot of stuff going on. And yeah.
When somebody disappeared or got lost, did they call you? And you had to deal with the media and stuff.
Yep. Every time.
You have a lot of people get lost there?
They're telling me that the truth.
Next Armstrong and Getty Show.
It's
Armstrong
not getting lost. It's more the ground.
Yeah.
102.3.
When you gotta know, you
turn. All right, coming back.
W Radio.
Talk Radio 102.3.
Welcome back to the Owl's Nest Barbecue Show live here on Talk Radio 102.3. I'm Steve Ray. That's Jeff Maxwell. Our special guest tonight is Christy Vanover, coming to you live from Las Vegas, Nevada, where it's 109 degrees. Hey, are you a Malcolm Reed fan? Christy, are you a Malcolm Reed fan?
Absolutely.
Sure you are. And we have the entire lineup of how to barbecue right rubs and sauces at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply in Ottawa. Did you see Malcolm use his classic barbecue rub on a pork butt the other day? and follow it up with his AP rub. Yeah, I saw that too. And you can get them both at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply in Ooltewah. I wear out those Malcolm Reed videos, don't you, Christy?
They are good.
He is so good.
He's got so many skills. And he's such a nice guy, too. That's what I love.
He is. He's a wonderful person. A big teddy bear. Just a big teddy bear. Hey, let's talk about some let's put the meat on the side burner for a change, and let's talk a little bit about the desserts in barbecue, and explain, Christy, how easy it is to do desserts on the grill, and then we'll move into the sides.
You know, it is super easy, and I honestly started cooking food in the kitchen, and once I learned to grill and love to grill, I was like, how can I take everything I do inside and bring it outside? So really depends on the type of grill that you have, the type of desserts that you might want to make. So for instance, if you are using a smoker, whether it's charcoal based or whether it's a pellet grill, that's going to be where you can really take advantage of baking desserts, because essentially it's like an oven, but mm-hmm. it's going to give you that, because you're using indirect heat, and it's going to give you that extra little kiss of smoke flavor, which is nice. But if you're using a direct heat, where you're cooking either directly over coals, like on a Weber kettle or perhaps a gas grill, that's when you're going to want to do some more of the quick grilling. It's the same concept as with meat, but you would do it maybe with fruit, like, you know, grill up some pineapple or apples or things along mm-hmm. those lines.
Now, what kind of smoker do you use at home? Smoker grill.
You know I have 30, right?
I did not know that. 30, that's pretty impressive.
What's your go-to?
Yeah.
It really depends. So my competition, I use drums. I use Hunsaker drums for my mm-hmm. competitions. Backyard, I've got a gas grill. I have an Aspire by Heston. I've got my Big Green Egg in the backyard, a couple of those actually. I have a Cuisinart pellet. So my go-to really depends. It's meal-focused. If I'm wanting to do some baking, if I'm wanting to do like baking something for brunch or baking a dessert, I tend to go toward my pellet grill, toward my Cuisinart Claremont,
mm-hmm.
because it's so similar to an oven. There's no heat control. You just push the button and you can bake. But again, you get the added flavor of apple wood or whatever pellets you're
using. All right, let's stay with the pellet smoker, because I was hoping you had a pellet smoker, because that's what I use most of the time, and I have ventured out into the side dishes, but I haven't ventured to the dessert realm yet. What I like about the pellet cookers on the dessert is most of them, when they go over 300 degrees, the fan stays on. And you get a, does your Cuisinart do that, and you get a convection?
Yep.
I think that's built in on most of them. What types of desserts on your pellet grill now, Chris? Because you can do more on a pellet grill than you can, say, a gas grill with desserts. I'm talking about pies or cakes or brownies, that sort of thing.
Absolutely. All of the above. And I would say it depends. Think about who you're serving. If you're doing something for a gathering and you're having a lot of people over, I like to do mini cupcakes and mini pies, so I just use like those mini muffin pans.
Mm-hmm.
That way serving is really easy, because people can just grab a little blueberry pie or a little cherry pie. I just use those mini muffin cups and refrigerated pie crust. You can use canned pie filling, but I usually make my own pie filling. And then just put it all in the, you know, in the little pie tins and throw that in the smoker, usually around 425, and the little ones cook up really fast. But again, it's nice that they're nice and bite-sized. And same with the cupcakes. I usually cook those about, I don't know, 375 to 400. I just use cake mix batter that you buy out of the box and put those in those mini pans and good to go.
So there is no added ingredient when you're going to smoke or when you're going to cook a dessert in a smoker then?
No, other than, you know, use your favorite cake batter recipe. I doctor up the box a little bit. And like I said, with the pies, I make my own fillings, whether it's peach pie, cherry pie, berry pie, et cetera. But as far as needing to do anything different than you would in an oven, not so much, other than get to know your grill. I would say that in an oven, it's definitely a consistent heat for the most part. Like, no matter, you don't usually have to rotate your pan. But in a pellet grill, depending on the type of pellet grill you have, some will have the fire pot on the right or left side, and some will have them in the center. If your fire pot's on a side, then your grill most likely will cook a little hotter closer to the fire pot. So for instance, if you have a pan of cupcakes in there, and the end closest to the fire pot will probably cook a little bit faster. So just halfway through the cook, just rotate that pan 180 degrees, and that'll help you ensure you get an even cook.
That was going to be my next discussion point. What are the timelines that you find when you're cooking something in a pellet cooker? Are they consistent with, say, if you were going to cook in like an apple pie in the oven in your house?
I would say it's very similar, but I will say, being a barbecuer, I rarely cook anything based on time anymore. Like, I'll set the general timer to usually about 8 to 10 minutes for cupcakes or for mini pies. But then, whether the timer goes off or not, I'm looking for it to be done. And it's just like you're looking for that brisket and you know when it's done, like, although I don't use a temperature probe, but, you know, you're looking for certain things when you're cooking barbecue. It's the same thing when I'm grilling desserts. I'm looking for the rise in the cupcake and the slightly golden color on top, if, you know, like if I'm making vanilla cupcakes. For the pies, I'm looking for the crust to start to brown and the fruit filling to start to kind of bubble up. So, I usually shoot for that 8 to 10 minute point, but then I finish it. Like, if it needs more time, then I'm going to give it a little bit more time. If I look at it at 8 minutes and it doesn't need to ride the full 10, then I take it right off.
You know, when I'm cooking things in the smoker, like macaroni or, say, smoked meatloaf, I use a Green Mountain grill. And I'm cooking at 350 usually when I'm doing those types of proteins and macaroni. And I find that it cooks quicker in the grill than it does in the oven in the house.
Okay.
So, you know, it's I think you hit the nail on the head when you said you really need to know the piece of equipment that you're cooking on, because I think even from manufacturer to manufacturer, those temperatures are going to they're going to be different.
Yep, for sure. And you definitely want to preheat it too, just like you preheat your oven. But make sure if you are cooking on a pellet that you give it that good, you know, 15, 20, 30 minutes, depending on your manufacturer, to get to the temp. Because otherwise it'll hit those fluctuation points. If you put it on, like, right when it hits 350, it might still be trying to compensate. And then you put a cold piece of pan in there, and then it'll start to rise and rise a little bit too quickly. So let it stable out for a good 5-10 minutes, and then put your food in there.
You know, Christy, the first time I ever saw anybody make dessert on a grill was in Nashville, Tennessee. There was a combination competition, a KCBS and a Memphis Barbecue Network competition going at the same time, and it was a who's who of barbecue in the United States. And Dr. Barbecue was there representing Big Green Egg, and we got there early enough where we got kind of like a private audience with the doctor, and he was making he put like a tortilla down on the grill, and then he put a cream cheese layer on it, and then I think he either put strawberries or something that was like jelly and berries in it, and he put it on the, then he put that on there, and the then he let it toast on this. It was like on a pizza stone, and then he folded it. Yes, and he folded it over, and then he served it to my friend and I, and I mean, Christy, I'm not kidding. It was off. It was out of this world. Something that it was so quick, but it was so good. And then, it came off of a grill.
I'm guessing that was a crepe.
It was like a crepe, but it was a tortilla. It wasn't as thin as a crepe. But the
sweet quesadilla.
Yeah, exactly. And he was making those things, you've made pizzas on your egg. You know, they make them so fast. Mm-hmm. And but that was the first time I'd ever had dessert on a grill, and it was, how lucky is that to have Dr. Barbecue serving you dessert off of a Big Green Egg? You know, that's like God coming down and reading you the Bible, you know. And
right.
So it was a pretty unique experience. But dessert on the grill is a genuine a genuine thing. Have you done any pies on that Cuisinart?
Actually, not on the Cuisinart yet. I've done it on several other grills, and even a gas grill. And that's one point that I do want to bring up. If you're using gas, you can still do desserts, like baked desserts on it. You'll want to set it up with an indirect zone if you can. If you have a 3 or 4 burner, that's where you just turn on one burner, like either the outside burner or usually one of the outside burners, and then put your food over the non-burner, the burner that's not on. Mm-hmm. But in addition to that, you'll want to raise it because the grill grates in that area still get pretty hot and your heat source is all coming from the bottom without any type of convection or blowing a fan. So what I just do is I'll take a pie tin, flip it upside down, and then set the pie itself right on top of that. So it just gives a little bit of elevation. You can use a rack too if you have an extra like elevating rack in there. But just don't set your pie straight on the gas grill grate, even over indirect heat, because what'll happen is you'll cook the bottom, it'll get charred,
yeah.
And then the top. By the time the top's done, it's just not so successful.
And well, it's gonna. If you start to do this, you're gonna. It's like learning how to use a pizza oven on a pellet cooker. The first couple are gonna be non-edible. Because there's just a learning curve. It's kind of like my first 4 briskets I did. it took me a long time to get that recipe down. Christy, we're going to take our second break of the night. You're listening to Christy Van Over from live in Las Vegas. Girls Can Grill. If ribs are your barbecue thing, then I have the thing for you. Craig Sherry's famous Texas rib jelly and Texas rib candy. Plus, his chicken and barbecue rubs are now available at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply in Ottawa. Treat your ribs with a taste of Texas from Craig Sherry. We'll be right back with Christy Vanover, Girls Can Grill. Stay with us. Give us a call, 267-1023. You got any questions for her yet?
Real talk. Christy, would you believe that you... Anything you can cook in the oven, you can cook on a grill, depending on the vessel you use.
Absolutely. 100%.
I agree 100% as well. It's just, whichever vessel you're going to use for it.
Yep. You just gotta learn your cooker, and, you can make it happen.
Yep, from oysters to brisket to, smoked cheese to whatever.
Yep. And a lot of times I'll smoke something first, like a pot roast. I'll smoke the meat first and then put the Dutch oven pot itself, put the meat in that and put the lid on it and finish it still on the grill. You're just braising it at that point.
Yeah.
Or pulling it, making a stew out of it.
Yeah, for sure.
Man, you guys that can cook really kill me. I wish I could cook.
Roasting all your vegetables or smoking all your vegetables and roasting them and then... put them in a pot and making a roast and a stew out of that. Ooh, boy.
This weekend I am going to cook a dessert. I mean a major in my grill on Sunday. I've got I brought a Memphis wood fired pellet cooker home. Have you seen those, Christy?
I have. I've heard really good things about them.
Man, these things are elevated. I mean they're a little pricey.
Very well built, though.
But man, it is a different ball game than the regular pellet cookers, and the regular pellet cookers are great, and but this thing is convection after 300 degrees, and it's got a lot of added features, but it holds temperature unbelievably. I'm gonna cook something in that. I think I'll try an apple pie.
I was gonna say it's strawberry season right now, so.
It is. We're here.
Right up here, Steve, on Mountain View.
We're right at the end, yeah.
They got that pick your own place.
Yeah, Albie's.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Albie, everybody. And we're talking about a local guy, Smith Berry Farm, it's called. We have a guy named Albie Smith that lives here in Old Twan. He is I call him the P.T. Barnum of agricultural entertainment. he has strawberry fields. He has a sunflower field. And he is just a really clever guy, and he really keeps agriculture at the forefront here in our little community, and it's great. I mean, he lets kids come and go to his farm and things like that.
He's got a maize and the sunflowers.
Yeah, it's a wonderful thing.
Oh, I love that.
But I don't have to go pick them because he always brings them to me.
Because you wouldn't go pick them anyway.
No, I'm not picking strawberries. I'm not picking.
Well, you could even bake up a shortcake and then slice up the strawberries and make yourself a strawberry shortcake.
With some whipped cream on top of that, you're good.
I might do that. I might do that. Yeah. I might try to make my own cake or my own pie crust.
Yeah.
Boy, how big a fail would that be?
Epic.
No. You could do it. My sister-in-law gave me a great pie crust recipe, and it's
as long as he invites me over to help him.
Is it easy?
It is.
Good. I like easy.
She puts a little vodka in it too.
Vodka.
Atta girl.
She claims it makes it airy. I don't know. I don't argue.
Would bourbon work?
Yeah, maybe. Okay.
Maybe Christy, it makes her airy. It's not the crust.
Well, that would be funny. Vodka in a pie. I never heard of such a thing.
Yep. But if it exists, it's extremely.
All right, here we go. Coming up.
Talk Radio 102.3 WGOW-FM. The station for those who think about it. This is Talk Radio 102.3
WGOW-FM.
Talk Radio
102.3. He's the king and he reigns supreme. The 2021 Memphis in May World Champion, Myron Mixon. His rubs and sauces set the pace for your backyard cookout. Myron is the winningest man in barbecue, and he wants to be part of your backyard team. So team up with Jack's Old South and get your Myron Mixon products at the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply in Ottawa. Chris, have you ever had a chance to hang out with Myron at any contest?
I have. American Royal. And not so much. I wouldn't say so much. I didn't get to hang with him, but I definitely was around his team and crew at the Royal a couple years ago.
What a true professional.
Yeah,
I mean,
absolutely.
if you want the definition of a professional in his field, in the dictionary, it would be Myron Mixon. Hands down. Our number is 267-1023, 267-1023. If you're calling long distance, just put a 423 in front of that, 423-267-1023. We are talking with Christy Vanover. She is coming to us live from the cool city of Las Vegas, Nevada, 109 degrees, cool. We're talking about things that you put on the grill that aren't meat or protein. We're talking more about desserts and side dishes. What is in Las Vegas, Christy, what is the barbecue environment like as far as retail restaurants?
It's good. We've got the chains, you know, we've got the Famous Dave's and the Dickies and the Lucille's and that type. But then we've also got a lot of small town shops, more than I even realize. Sometimes I'll just be driving down the street and see a barbecue joint, and I'm like, oh, okay, it's just, you know, in a small, like, strip mall. And then we've got some that have multiple stores and multiple restaurants in town. So we have definitely a good variety and a variety of styles. Vegas isn't, you know, necessarily known as a barbecue town, so we have people who their roots are in Texas or the Carolinas or Tennessee, and they bring those roots here in their creations and the barbecue that they have. So it's really, we get a good worldly view of barbecue, I would say.
Now, do you do any catering?
I do not. With my full-time job and running Girls Can Grill, I just don't.
Yeah.
Don't have the time. But I grill at work. I just grilled at work the other day for my team. And so, yeah, here and there I do stuff for friends and family.
Well, I know that you're the barbecue go-to person in your family, I'm sure. What is the Vanover picnic or the Vanover barbecue event, what are the side dishes that you like to cook? Because I'm getting burned out. I'm getting burned out on macaroni. I love it, but I need some inspiration.
Sure. I'm really lucky in that my father-in-law is a kick-ass barbecuer too. I mean, he's the one who really taught me everything, and he's really, really good at sides too. So between the two of us, we're juggling the menu. His baked beans are killer. Either he makes them or I make them. He's taught me his recipe, but that's, you know, there's the traditional baked beans and potato salad and coleslaw and macaroni. We usually seem to have those all the time. But then one of the dishes that he always makes is like a 5-cup salad. You've probably had it before, but where they mix in Cool Whip and cherries and fruit cocktail salad and just kind of mix that all in a bowl. And it's pretty popular in Kentucky. That's where we grew up. But I actually like to mix things up a bit. I try to add more greens in my sides because it's so protein. Most barbecues are protein heavy and starch heavy. You know, mm-hmm. You've got your potato salad, your macaroni. So I try to find ways to do greens that are a little bit different. So instead of coleslaw, even though I love coleslaw, I like to do kale salad. Kale is a good green to use because unlike iceberg lettuce or romaine lettuce, it can hold up over time just like cabbage can.
Mm-hmm.
So I dice it up or chop it up really small just like you would with coleslaw, and then mix it with the vinaigrette. You can pre-mix it with the vinaigrette already, and just like you can with coleslaw, whereas other salads will tend to get wilted up. And you can add different things in there, like fresh fruits or dried fruits. I like to put mango in mine actually quite a bit. You can put nuts in there if you want, or even like hard cheeses like either Parmesan or feta or even blue cheese if you'd like. So yeah, that's a fun one to do.
That sounds like something that if you went to a picnic, it would be a little bit different, and I would go for that.
Yeah,
I would definitely go for that.
A vinaigrette, my standard vinaigrette, I don't really have a recipe for. It's just kind of more what I'm in the mood for, but it's, you know, a base of olive oil and then some sort of citrus juice, whether it's orange juice or squeeze of lemon or lime, and then some salt and pepper, and then usually just a squeeze of Dijon mustard and kind of whisk that up and then add a little honey to get a little bit more sweetness in there, and then drizzle that on. So it's got a really, because of the citrus, it's a really refreshing bite. Especially when you've got like a heavy meat like pulled pork or brisket, it really complements it nicely.
That sounds great. Christy, we're going to take our last break a little bit early. When we come back, my partner here, Jeff Maxwell, did a Wagyu A9 brisket over Memorial Day weekend, and I got to sample it, and I've got to say it was fantastic. And I know you are a Wagyu expert, so I'm going to let you critique Jeff's cook of the Wagyu A9 brisket on the other side of this break. All you pellet heads out there, you know your pellet smoker needs a quality fuel. At the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply, we stock Barbecuers Delight pellets that will keep your smoker running smoothly with great flavor. Everything from mesquite, oak, hickory to cherry. You can trust Barbecuers Delight to stoke your smoker with flavor and dependability. Stay with us. A little bit of Wagyu brisket talk on the other side of this break with Christy Vanover. Stay with us. Where do you get your briskets at, Christy, when you compete?
Snake River Farm.
Yep.
Snake River Farm. Yep, Wagyu Gold.
I knew Steve was
going to... Go ahead.
I knew Steve was going to throw a twist in this. He said we wanted to talk about the brisket. He didn't say, I'm going to have Christy critique it.
Well, my gosh. You've got Christy Vanover on the phone.
he always does his things, Christy. The day I'm making it on Sunday Memorial Day, Steve convinced my wife to come into the kitchen while I was cooking to go, is it time to call Steve to come help you yet? him and Sean Cosby are telling me before that, you need me to come over and help you. The whole poking the bear and that whole thing.
I think they just wanted to taste it. I think that was the excuse.
Well, he was invited, but he didn't come.
I tell you, I did a pork belly that day. And I was having to one up my other partner here in the subdivision, who was doing just a regular pork butt. So I bought a 10-pound pork belly, and blew him out of the water. So that's what guys do. We don't go to picnics to have fun and just we go to picnic. It's like going to the Royal.
he shined coming over to my house to just upstage his barbecue partner on his team.
But I had Jeff drop me off some of that brisket the other day, and my gosh, if you're cooking, and you said it at the beginning of the show so right, they've got to do something about, at least in the brisket category, to even the field. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Because if you're not cooking a Wagyu You're not in it. You're cooking for the bottom half of the
field.
You're
bringing a knife to a gunfight.
Yeah. I mean, it's really hard, even with a prime. And some primes I've had success with, but it's just still, it's incomparable. I ground up some of my brisket trimmings the other day and grilled up burgers for my teammates in the Air Force. And they were like, we've never had a burger like this. What in the heck are we eating? Why does this taste so much better than every burger?
And you know what's funny, Chris? I watch some of your videos, and people are critiquing you for how aggressively you trim a brisket for a competition. And you know what?
Yes.
That's what you got to do to have a fast, hot cook, so you're not staying overnight for 16 hours.
Yeah, I cook a 5-hour brisket at the comp, and then I make good burgers afterwards.
Yeah, everybody eats good burgers. It's exactly right. We're turning. How long does it take you to do your pork butt?
15 minutes.
As well.
Yeah. See, we're turning competition barbecue into fast food.
We do cook everything fast. Yeah.
I know.
With the drums, though, they ride at 375, 300.
I know. They cook super hot.
Yep.
And they cook super good.
Still delicious. Yeah,
I know.
They do.
So when you cook on a drum, do you hang from the flat? Well, no, you're not hanging. I hung mine in a PVC.
Yeah, no, I don't hang at all. Mm-mm. I used to use a barrel house cooker, and I would hang, but...
Do you hang your ribs?
Nope, not anymore.
Really?
I used to. And then I took the class from Tim and Brad, the Gateway Hot and Fast class, and they lay them flat, and I've had success with them since then. Well, except for last week, I bombed on ribs, but brisket was good. I got third on brisket, so...
Cooking hot and fast is fine, but boy, that window of error is, it's small.
So true.
We're coming back in just a second.
Sometimes I've run down to the wire, right? I didn't have time to hold. I was just like, get done.
Those are your political insights.
Here we go.
Weekday mornings, I'm up to my neck.
We'll have 5 minutes. That's good.
102.3 FM.
And we are back with Christy Vanover, Girls Can Grill, coming to you live from Vegas. Green Mountain Grills are the pellet smoker of choice for Big Mo, Jim Ells, or Sterling Smith, and dozens of other professional barbecue competitors. Come by the Owl's Nest Barbecue Supply and see the Green Mountain Grill in action. Come by tomorrow. I'll have them out front. I start at 6:30, folks. Come by tomorrow. I start getting those grills out at 6:30. You can help me pull them out. I could use the help. The best pellet smoker you can buy, period. The Green Mountain Grill. Now, Christy, my buddy here, Jeff Maxwell, cooked a Wagyu brisket, and we won't get into the A5s, A9s, and all that stuff. That's the weeds. Jeff, give Christy your method, and she'll give you her method, and we'll see if we can't come to some sort of a medium method.
Okay, well, Christy, first of all, you know, I bought a A9 from the butcher shop in Pensacola. I wet aged it for 14 days. Then I cooked it in the PVC, the pit barrel cooker. I hung up from the flat after injecting with Miner's au jus, Miner's beef base, and vegetable stock.
Mm-hmm.
I rubbed it with salt, garlic, and 18 mesh pepper. And I cooked it for about 4 hours. I cooked a color before I wrap or before I crunch. Okay, so I was looking for the color I wanted. And I will probe just to see where it's at for, so when I do a competition, I go, okay, I'm looking about in this area. So I wrapped it about 4 hours in. And I wrapped it for about 3.5 hours. So I was done in 7.5 hours, and I was cooking at about 275, you know, on ambient, you know, throughout the entire cook. So my guests were supposed to arrive about 4. I was going to, you know, serve at 5. Some people were late. So I camoed it, wrapped it in a towel, camoed it until, actually I ended up slicing it at 5, about an hour after I really wanted to. But it absolutely was the best brisket I've ever made. So what I did as well is, because the amount of fat that was in that that wrap after I, you know, had wrapped it, I kind of drained some of the bad fat out of it. And I had made another, you know, because what I'll do is my injection, I will make the night before. heat it up, and then, you know, warm it up, and then inject it. So what I did was I made an additional batch to do in my wrap, and then sliced it about, you know, 4 hours after I had pulled it off the smoker, and it absolutely was the best brisket I've ever made. And it, you know, it's I'm starting with an A9 from, you know, whether you go Snake River or Kevin Green down in Pensacola. It was, you know, I'm starting with a good piece of meat.
Okay, Christy Vanover. Now you're cooking a full packer. Now you're not cooking at a contest. You're cooking
you're not
for
splitting
the
them.
You're cooking for the Vanover family, or and you've invited the Rays over too. So you're going to cook a whole brisket. Now, what is your method?
It's actually very similar to that. I rarely cook a whole packer. I still split even when I'm cooking for the family, just because the point and the flat do cook a little bit different. But same thing. I'm doing an injection. Usually it's some water and some of my brisket rub mixed in there, and some beef broth. Mix that in, do the injection. I like to let that sit overnight with the rub on top. Then I smoke also, usually actually about 300, 325 on my drums, or sometimes I'll go slow and low 225 on my pellet grill if I have time to do a longer cook. Because I'm in the desert, I always put a pan of water in my grill because it's really dry here, so I find that that helps keep the moisture nice. I do the same thing as Jeff. I wrap on color. Usually I'm in the 160 to 175 range, but mm-hmm. it's really I'm going for color. I want to have that nice looking bark on it. I do my crutch for competitions in half pans. I actually don't wrap them tight with foil. I put them in the half pans with some condensed beef broth. My mop has a mixture of the beef broth and my brisket rub and a few other things. And then I let it ride until it's probe tender. And like I said, I do separate the flat and the point because I find that I'm usually pulling the point about 214, 210 to 214, and I'm pulling the flat around 207 to 210 at my altitude. But as I travel and go to different altitudes, that definitely changes. And then hold it in the cambro, just like you said, for a couple hours.
Okay.
2 minutes left. Yeah,
Christy,
left.
Same thing is, you know, I believe that the flat follows the point. Okay, so it's not too far behind it when you get up to that in that 200 range. So what I'll do is, you know, it's probe tender, but I'm going to notate what that temperature was when I probe it, so that it gives mm-hmm. me you know, a consistency of, I've seen that five times now, that at 212,
well, okay.
At 212 my point was done, you know, probe tender, but at 209 my flat was. So I knew when I wrapped it at that point, it was going to follow and we were going to be okay.
So that was going to be my question to both of you. Do you feel like on a Wagyu you have to cook it to a higher temperature to get the same feel that you need from a brisket to know it's done?
1 minute.
I thought so.
In a minute or less?
I think so.
Definitely for the point. The point has a lot more marbling, and you've got to get that rendered out. So mm-hmm. Yes, for sure.
I 100% agree with Christy. 100% from my experience with this one.
Well, you two Wagyu snobs just y'all should like start a Facebook.
Hashtag #BrisketWhisper.
Start a little Facebook page. Jeff and it's Christy. Hey, Christy, thank you so much for being with us. We've got to say goodbye to Chattanooga. We're going to get you to hang on for just a little bit for the Facebook side. Where can people find you on social media, Christy, so they can run to your page and look at all the cool things?
Girls Can Grill on everything from Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, Twitter, you name it.
Girls Can Grill, Christy Vanover from Las Vegas, Nevada. Next week, everybody, we've got Chris Grove from Knoxville, the purveyor of Nibble. Nibble Me This. And Chris will he will be explaining the other part of this grilling show that we are doing. Until next Friday night, good luck. Thank you, boy.
Got it covered. WGOW FM. Sunny Daisy, Chattanooga. A Cumulus Media Station.
From ABC News.
All right, Christy. Man, you were great.
Thanks.
Wasn't that fun? Wasn't that fun?
It is. It's always fun to talk with you. Guys.
It's always fun when it's on the radio, too. It's so fast.
Yeah.
It's so fast.
You are a fantastic guest.
So Jeff, what was the temperature of that brisket, do you think?
When I pulled it off?
Yeah.
The point was at 212, and the flat was at 209.
So, all right, we're about in the same range as a regular brisket, then.
I typically pull a prime or something off a little earlier than that. But this, you know, like Christy said, the fat content, I was cooking the fuel. I didn't even look at the temperature until I go, okay, that's probe tender, that's where I want it. Then I looked at it to see and wrote down for my, you know, timelines what it was going to, you know, what it was at. So
I never even look at it hardly. I'm using my thermometer the whole time.
Yeah, that's exactly, you know, I'm probing it. And then, you know, I'll notate it when I go, okay, that's my sweet spot. Then I'll write that down or notate that. And that's where I'm going, okay, that's about where I want to be and start looking at pulling it.
Christy, is bark on a brisket overrated?
For competition especially, and I learned that from Brad from Getting Basted. For competition, you get scored on your tenderness, and if you're so focused on having a bark that you forgo the tenderness of your meat, you're gonna score bad. Not as good. So yes, I think so. And I do love a good bark. I mean, don't get me wrong, but it's way more important to have a good bite and tender brisket.
I agree 100%. Taste is so much more important than a hard bark.
You know, in a competition, I would agree. But you know what? I look at that bark as the chef's delight. That's the stuff I love. That's the stuff I'm going to pick off after I get done slicing. But I'm sure that in competition, it gets graded down as tenderness. It's all about that.
Now, Christy, you said that you put your brisket in a pan. Do you put foil over it or just stick it in a pan?
I do.
Okay, so you do wrap it then.
On a riser?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I assume you do that so the foil doesn't touch the top.
Correct.
Okay. Yeah. And I see she's hedging it because that's a secret. This guy's reading my mind. He's reading my mind.
Turkey thing that you're gonna steam that thing and get it through the get the connective tissue.
Saying this guy in Chattanooga is starting to ask too many questions.
I'm gonna have to send somebody to come see him.
Send him a bill for $750.
I share almost everything. I did try something new in this last weekend's cook to try to get the braising portion done while also creating the bark.
Mm-hmm.
It worked well. I'm not going to share that secret. I'm still perfecting it. I may share it someday, but yes.
Christy, I cook in a different part of the country. You just want to IM me that, and I'll never compete against you?
Right.
Yeah. Oh, boy. Christy, you've been...
Altitude matters, for sure. I cooked in Sholo, Arizona, which was, I think we were at, maybe up to 5,000, and boy, my liquid boiled out completely. I cooked two briskets that day. One was non-Wagyu, and in the non-Wagyu, there was no liquid left, and my brisket was so dry, I was horrified. Fortunately, my Wagyu was okay, but you've definitely got to adjust. I have actually a whole article on my website about altitude cooking, but it's definitely changes things.
What altitude are you at?
Right around 2,000.
We're at what, 700?
Like we're at 5. Chattanooga's 5. So. We're 565.
Oh,
You're Chattanooga. That's right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we're down there. We're down there. Now here we're probably, the house here we're probably 650.
That's why I was Oodawa, talking about where we're sitting.
Yeah, the mountain. Yeah.
We're similar to Chicagoland or somewhere like that.
Okay. Yeah, I interviewed a bunch of guys from Colorado to kind of get their take on how they compete in Colorado and then bring their cooks to other places like Vegas, or elsewhere to how they make those adjustments, and they definitely adapt.
Well, that's like that pit barrel cooker. You open the bottom vent based on your elevation.
Yep.
Christy, thank you so much. You were great.
You,
I mean, you were fantastic.
Guys.
And
I appreciate it. It was fun.
It was fun. And I will get in touch with you this week and get some of your rub in the gas station, okay? I see you've got this real cool little retail thing, and my friend Aaron here, who runs our produces the Facebook side of things, he's one of my helpers in the store. I'll have him make a place for it, okay, Aaron? As he shakes his head upside down.
And I'll send you the invite to come cook with Smoking Goat. Since you can't compete out there, you can come over here.
That sounds fun. Smoking Goats, I love it.
Thanks, Christy. So much.
Thanks, guys.
Everybody on Facebook, thank you for watching and thank you for listening. We'll be back here next week with Chris Chris Groves from Knoxville, Nibble Me This, and Chris is a fantastic barbecue guy, and you will learn a lot from him. Until next Friday night, for Jeff Maxwell, this is Steve Ray. Good night, and good luck.